Some of you have figured out this morning, we have kind of focused all morning. Josh has focused us this morning on our senses and the fact that with each one of our senses, there is another characteristic or numerous characteristics of God that we learn and that we can experience and that we can be more aware of through those senses. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been studying through a sermon series entitled In, Then Out. We've built it kind of with the idea of In-N-Out hamburgers, and you probably have seen that in your bulletin or whatever, but really the idea of it is that there's things that need to take place inside before things can take place outside. We've talked about the fact over the last couple of weeks of what God needs to do in us, what we need to allow for God to do in us as individuals, and then the difference that that makes to each other of us, and then this morning for us to have the opportunity to look at the inside, not of us as individuals, but not only us as individuals, but also us as a church. To know that when God works in us here, then He can work out of us out there to make a difference in culture. And the scriptures are very plain that God's plan for getting the good news of Jesus Christ out, that Jesus loved us enough to die on the cross and to rise from the dead and to save us and to give us eternal life, it's done through the church. This last week was a big day if you followed the news any at all. The Notre Dame Cathedral burned this week. It's been amazing at the news coverage that it's gotten. Was built in 1163, that's when they started it, in 1163, in 1345, so almost 200 years later, after they had been working on it for 200 years, they laid the cornerstone. The oldest church building known to us as humans, the oldest one was built in AD 327. It is the Church of Nativity in Bethlehem of Israel. Many of you or some of you have been there. I know we got to visit that a few years ago on our trip to Israel, but I want you to know this. Really, when you think about it, the church is not a building. Now, we're all guilty of referring to the church as the place we go to worship and to refer to it to a building, but when we stop and think, we all know that really the church is not a building, it's a people. Really, it's a movement. It's not a building. A movement is something that has a cause, a something that has a mission. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "You are Simon, but you will be called Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to tell you, in our world today, it certainly looks like the gates of hell are prevailing against the church. But I want you to know, God is the one that's in control of everything, and the church is still the organization, the movement, the people that God is going to use to get the good news out to the people. The church is still the hope of the world in the sense of us getting the good news of Jesus out. We are the church. The church is not having the impact in the culture that it could, or not even in Medill that it could. I believe we can have a greater impact, as great as our impact is. But I would tell you this, we've all heard the saying that a chain is only as strong as a weakest link. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. I would tell you today, how is it that the church can have a greater impact? I think it's when we get right inside of us, when we get our own individual lives where God wants us to be, and then as individuals when we get there, then as a church when we get there, then God will use us to have the greatest impact that we can in culture. We've talked about our senses all morning. If you're in Psalms chapter 34, I want to look at verses 8, 9, and 10 this morning, and we're going to look at two particular of those senses again. Psalm chapter 34, verses 8 and 9, written by King David. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. You who are His holy ones, fear Yahweh," that's Jehovah, "fear God, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good." First, I would say this morning, think of taste and see. When we think of our senses, when I think of taste, I'm reminded one time I went on a mission trip to Canada when I lived in Odessa. We went up, two of us, our missions pastor and myself, we went to Canada to see if we could develop a church partnership up there so that we could have missions and go up there and help them in the different things that they did. We stayed with a couple. Their name were Bruce and Gladys. Now, Canada just in general is a different culture, but we stayed with Bruce and Gladys. We stayed in their basement all week long, Jason and I did, and we'd go out and do work during the day and come back and stay, and all week long they talked. Gladys kept saying, you can't wait till, I think it was Thursday maybe, we're going to have Bruce's favorite meal. We're going to have Bruce's favorite meal on Thursday. We're going to all eat here. Now, for you who don't know me, if you multiply 3 meals a day times 7 meals a week, that's 21 meals. Okay? I don't usually eat breakfast, but out of those other 14, I usually eat somewhere around 14 of them out. I'm not an eat-at-home guy, but all week long, Gladys kept saying, we're going to have Bruce's favorite meal. We're going to have Bruce's favorite meal. So on Friday or Thursday, we sit down that last day to have the meal. We sit down around their table. I sat on this side, and Jason sat on that side. I never forget, Bruce sat down here on this end, and Gladys sat down on this end, and the oven was right over there. And I remember the second she opened the oven, I knew I was in trouble. I could smell it. Bruce's favorite thing was salmon strudels. Yeah, some of you are with me. Right away, I could tell we were in trouble. It came out in a strudel loaf. It was a fillet of salmon about this long, and she had baked it with the strudel bread over the top and had brought that all in there, and it was just about this long and about that wide. She set it down at the table with all the rest of the stuff, and we did what families do. We began to pass it around. Now, Jason, my buddy that was there with me, that cat would eat dirt. I'm telling you, he could eat anything. That guy could do it. Now, I'm kind of particular. We started passing things around, and we're going around, and Bruce started with the salmon strudel on because it was his favorite meal. So he cut a piece, and then it went to Jason. And when it got to Jason, Jason cut off a piece of it. Now remember, it's about this long and about this wide, and he cut me a piece about that wide, so it was about this big of a piece. He cut that big old piece, and I thought, well, man, Jason's getting pretty industrious. And then he got all servant-hearted on me, and he slid it on my plate across the table and said, Randy, you're going to love this. I just smiled because he knew I owed him one. I would tell you, there are things in life that when you taste them, you start out thinking you're not going to like them. For salmon strudel, that was the case. But there are other things in life that you taste that you're not real sure about, but once you taste it, you just figure out that it is good. The scriptures say, taste and see that the Lord is good. I would tell you this, know this, you cannot have someone else taste it for you. All of our senses are things that we got to do for us. I can't taste it for Nick. Nick can't taste it for me. We got to taste it for each other. And something else I would tell you, when it says taste and see that the Lord is good, you need to know this about taste. You ever notice when people are trying something new, how they try to get like a smidgen? You ever notice when people are trying something that they're not real sure of, how small of a bite they try to get? Most people don't try it with a big old spoonful. They want to like dip it and just see what they think. I would tell you, I think that's the case for probably some of us here this morning. We've tasted the Lord to see kind of if we like this church thing, if we like this Jesus thing. But the problem is when you just barely get a little bit of it on your spoon or a little bit of it on your chip or a little bit of it on your fork, you don't really know if it tasted good or not. You don't really have a clue because you didn't get enough to be able to taste it. The scriptures say taste and see. I think we're supposed to get a big bite. I think we're supposed to go all in. But it does say taste and see. I want you to know that according to the scriptures, you cannot see except by tasting. A lot of times we want to rely on the experiences of things in the scriptures and things that God does in our world by third party, by somebody else. But I want you to know, if you want to know what God can do, if you want to know the power of God in somebody's life, you got to taste it for yourself. But the scriptures say, if you taste, you will see, but you will not see unless you taste first. You got to be willing to try. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I would also tell you that there's an order. It says that you must taste and then you can see. You get forgiveness and then you get salvation. Christy and Jansen, Will and I had an opportunity yesterday to go to Fort Worth, and we spent the afternoon yesterday in Fort Worth. The University of Oklahoma women's gymnastic team. Christy and I have been traveling and watching them play, and I've told you before that that Christy and I were gymnasts when we were younger and not play but compete. And when we went and watched them yesterday, it's fascinating at seeing the things that those girls can do, that those young ladies can do. But I want you to know something. Of every one of them that was down there, they all started out the same way. Do you know when you start gymnastics, do you know what you start doing? You start with front rolls. And they teach you to raise your hand up on your tippy toes. And then you squat. I'm not doing a front roll. But you learn a front roll. And then you learn a back roll. And then you learn dive rolls. But everybody wants to do the big fancy things. One of the things with cheerleaders, Christy and I have taught cheerleaders for years when I was a student pastor about doing flip-flops at cheerleading time. Everybody wants to do back handsprings. Those girls yesterday were doing double backs. Laid out, pike, tuck, with double twists in them. But I want you to know this. They all started out with front rolls. There's a progression to how you do it. And the problem is when you want to learn to do a flip-flop, but you don't know how to do a backbend, hey, that creates a real issue. I would tell you it's the same way with taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of us just want to see that the Lord is good, but we don't want to buy in. Because you know one thing? It doesn't cost a whole lot for us to look. But it changes everything when you got to put it in your mouth. I don't mind looking at guacamole. That stuff is way too slimy to put in my mouth. I just can't get there. You got to taste first. You got to buy in. And some of you are sitting out there going, oh, Randy, you should taste it. Oh, if you'd taste it, you'd love it. I might, but I couldn't tell you. And I'm not going to. But I want you to know this. With the Lord, it's taste first. And see that the Lord is good. It's a promise. You may or may not like guacamole, but I will promise you this. If you will taste, if you will try the Lord, you will see that He is good. That's a promise. That's a fact. That's a scriptural principle in everything we do. That you, for us, we think so many times when we think taste and see that the Lord is good, we try so hard as ministers and as teachers to get people to come to church. I know a lot of you think, hey, that you want us to come because you like preaching to a bigger crowd or you're going to get a raise or you're going to do all these things. No, the reason that we want you to come is because I really think that church is to taste and see that the Lord is good, what a front roll is to a double back flip. You see, we think church is way up here, but I'm going to tell you, church is a front roll. You got to figure out the basics first. This is where you figure it out. Church is not back flips. Sunday worship, Wednesday night Bible study and prayer, hey, that's front rolls and back rolls, front rolls and back rolls. But we got to figure those things out. That's the reason I think it's so important. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, and let us not be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not straying from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We all know the verse that says, do not forsake the assembling of believers. I got to studying this week about that word forsake. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of an interesting word. In the Greek, it can mean two different things. There's a positive meaning to forsake, and there's a kind of a negative meaning to forsake. And I thought it was interesting. One of the ideas of the word forsake, the negative side of it is that there's a leave behind in a good manner. But there's also a side of it that's like leave behind in the sense of going AWOL, just being absent without leave. There's a good side of it when we think about the idea that there are things in life that we leave behind. I think it's interesting. I read something this week I wanted to read to you. It won't take but just a second. It's one paragraph out of a guy that I like to read. He said, if I were an unbeliever and dropped into the average church and saw a fraction of the membership trying to get more recruits to join the army of the Lord when most of the outfit had already gone AWOL, I would surmise that Christianity is not what it's supposed to be, or that we've been sold a watered-down, cheap, and easy brand. That we have been inoculated with such a mild form that we are immunized against the real thing. My concern is not that most of our people are such worldlings that the cause of Christ does not attract them. It is rather that we are such weak Christians that anything else attracts them. It's amazing at the things that keeps us out of church. And I want you to know this. I'm not here to reprimand you today. I'm here to encourage you. I'm telling you, if you'll learn to do the front flips, I believe one of these days you can do the back flips. But you got to get the front flips down. You got to be able to do the front rolls if you want to do the back flips. And it's really the back flips that all of us like to see. The church is an order. I think it's not graduate level. I think this is rookie league stuff. When we think about praying with faith, or we think about fasting, or we think about evangelism and sharing the gospel with other people, or when we think about learning to become tithers, or when we learn about the idea that Jesus said, you will do greater works than I, that we can heal. When we learn to do those kind of things, I think that's the big stuff, not the church stuff. The church is just the front row. The reason that preachers and teachers want you to be here is because we think you can do backflips. But we do know that there's an order, and you got to get things in the right order. Taste and see. I want you to know this. Taste and see can only be done firsthand. You got to experience it for yourself. You see, the problem with it is if you don't taste for yourself and you don't see for yourself, at best it becomes hearsay, and at worst it becomes gossip. For us to have the opportunity to be in and of the things of God. The second thing, look at what it says in verse 9. It says, you who are His holy ones, fear Yahweh, and those who fear Him lack nothing. We looked at taste and see in verse 8. Look at fear and lack in verse 9. There's two kinds of fear. There's an anticipation of harm. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless anyone who misuses His name. We all know that, one of the Ten Commandments. We need to know that if we use the Lord's name in vain, there's a price to pay for that. Most of us think using the Lord's name in vain involves a curse word. Not necessarily so. Certainly it does involve that, but it also involves the idea that we would profess to be Christ followers, but then we don't live our life like Christ followers, or we would profess to be Christ followers, but we don't talk like Christ followers, or we would profess to be Christ followers, but we don't treat people like we're Christ followers. All of those things are using God's name in vain. For me as a Kendricks, hey, I want the Kendricks name to be a proud name. Anything I do that detracts from it would be against it. It's the same way for us as Christ followers. But it also gives the idea, when we think of fear, not only of that fear, that anticipation of harm, but there also is that idea of awe, the expected blessing. You see, I think sometimes we focus too much on God's judgment and we miss out on God's blessing. Some of us have a tendency to focus too much on God's blessing and we don't think about God's judgment at all. But the scriptures tell us in John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. I believe all of us would like to have the abundant life. And I would tell you that I think taste and see is certainly a part of it, but so is fear. Then it also says that if you lack, John chapter 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. I've said to you before, do you know what nothing means? It means no thing. You can do no thing. There isn't anything you do that you can do apart from God as a Christ follower. God's the one that gives us the strength to go through the day. God's the one that wakes us up. God's the one that gives us rest. God's the one that gives us courage in the things that He calls us to do to be obedient. I would tell you this, when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus, when it says, hey, you will lack for nothing, I don't know if that means that God changes our wants or if God provides everything we think we want. But I can tell you this, for a guy who's been a Christ follower since I was 12, I'm pretty satisfied with my life. I'm pretty satisfied. I feel like God's blessed me. God has given me so many wants. God has given me so many needs. God has given me so many of the desires I have. And I would tell you, I think God will do the same for you. The scriptures tell us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You got to seek God and His righteousness. You got to seek after Him and have a desire to be like Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, they're all blessings. The best life is the life who seeks after God. What it says in verse 9a, it says, you who are His holy ones, plural, capital S, fear Yahweh, for those, which is plural, we think in terms so many times of us as individuals, but the scriptures say ones with an S, plural, those, plural. Hey, I would tell you this, one of the things that's great about the church is that we is greater than me. We is greater than you. All of us are better than any of us. That's one of the things that makes the church so spectacular. That's why it's so important that you're here. We are better when you are here. We are better when I'm here. It's a strength thing. It's the idea that strength is in numbers. For each one of us to be an encouragement to each other. The scriptures told us a minute ago, let us be concerned with one another in order to promote love and good works. That's why we come, to be encouraged, to learn more about God, and to be encouraged by each other. When you're in the church and you start thinking me, you're thinking wrong. When you start a sentence with I don't like or I do like, it's not about us. This place is about Jesus. It's not about the fact that maybe want to be in a certain group or in a certain class or in a certain ministry. It's not about any of us. It's about Jesus. It's bigger than all of us. I read a thing this week, when you think about trying to keep people satisfied, if there's one thing we could agree on, everybody, you have to vote, good or bad. Taxes, good? Raise your hand. You people are crazy. Taxes bad? Oh, I like it. In case some of you didn't vote at all. Really, I know when you say taxes good, there are certainly good things that come from them. But I read a survey this week, with it being tax week, that I thought was fascinating. They polled people and said, hey, what do you think about taxes? 57% of the people polled said they're too high. 34% of people said they're just right. 9% said they're too low. I don't know who's right or who's wrong, but I know this. We can't even agree on taxes. Some of you love taxes because you got them back. Some of us hate taxes to pay them. But the fact is, it's pretty tough to get us all to agree on anything if we think me first. But when we think we first, then we got power, and then we got momentum, and then we'll see that God does great things in and through us. So we looked at taste and see in verse 8. We looked at fear and lack in verse 9. Look at verse 10. I think it's fascinating. It says, young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. In this last one, I just pick out the lions and the Lord. Now, I've told you before, I'm a fan of the big cats. I love to watch the big cats on TV. I really get a kick out of them. I've been watching a new show on National Geographic Channel called The Hostile Planet. It says the young lions lack food and they go hungry. I got accused yesterday, when we were a little late getting to lunch, of being hangry. When I get hungry, anger just seems to follow. My family accused me of being hangry yesterday. I want you to know that young lions are that way. As a matter of fact, I've got a clip I would like you to see this morning about snow leopards. Watch this clip.
This snow leopard's relentless search for food continues. Following the scent of prey has drawn him to the edge of his territory. Let them come to him.
See him up there at the top of the screen? All right, go ahead and pause this just a second. You can leave the lights out. It's okay. Just leave them out. I want you to see the second part of this in a second, but I want you to notice as that cat's stalking, he's in. He's focused. You see, sometimes that's what happens to us as a church is we get focused on all kinds of other things. But now when you're talking about taste and see, and he knows it's eat or starve, he'll be focused. Not only is he focused, you can see it in the cat's eyes and how he moves, but he moves slow. But he's got to be all in. If he's not all in, he's going hungry. Now, when I say all in, some of you are thinking, what do you mean by all in? I want you to see what I mean by all in. Watch this. The cat's at the top. See him? Now, you want to see all in? Watch this for all in. Oh, no, you hadn't seen anything yet. Look at all in. You'd think he'd turn loose, wouldn't you? You'd think, I'm going to die. This is not very comfortable. Something's got to give.
A 200-foot fall. Never letting go.
Never letting go. Go. He's in. He's got to know. Taste and see. You say, hey, what do you mean by all in? I'm telling you, I think as a church, we ought to be as all in about knowing Jesus and about making Jesus known as he is about eating. That's what I think the scriptures are talking about when they say taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a pretty good fall he took. But I'm going to tell you something. He's fixing to be rewarded because he's fixing to have dinner. And he's going to have dinner for a couple of days. And then he's going to be good for a while. I want you to know that same way for us when we are all in. Let me ask you a question. Are you all in? I'm not talking about just in word. I'm talking about in action. I'm not talking about what you say. I'm talking about what you say and what you do on a consistent basis. Are you all in? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever in your life been closer to the Lord than you are right now? There's a good number of us that would probably say no. And I would say, why? You've known him longer than you've ever known him before today. Why are you not closer to him today than you've ever been before? Now, you're going to have all kinds of reasons, but the truth is they're excuses. My preacher growing up used to say an excuse is just a reason wrapped around a lie. For us, each one of us, do we know him better today than ever before? I want you to know whether it's a good reason or a bad reason. The fact is, if you don't know him better than you've ever known him before, you're missing out on the abundant life that's possible. Let me ask you a question. What would it take for you to get back on life track today? You obviously understand there's something spiritual in your life. You obviously have an idea of spirituality of Jesus. Or even on Easter, you wouldn't come to church. What would it take for you to get your life back on track where it needs to be? I'm going to tell you, it's repentance. Now, you need to know repentance is not just what you say, it's what you do. It means that, God, I want to be forgiven of what I've been doing, and I want to not do that anymore. I want to do something different. I want to be who you want me to be. It's not just a talk, it's a do. For some of you to get on track, not back on track, but on track. For some of you to get on track, you need to give your life to Jesus today. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you have tasted before and you know the Lord is good. You're just not sitting at the table right now. But I want you to know there's a seat at the table for you. God always, always, always prepares a seat for you at his table. You can come back, but it takes repentance. And for some of you, you've never tasted before. You know it. You kind of got that feeling in your gut. Right now, I want you to know that's the Holy Spirit talking to you, saying, hey, today's the day for you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a cost to it. It cost that leopard. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to eat. I want you to know there's a cost to following Jesus. But I want you to know it's worth it. I want you to know it's the best life. It's the blessed life. And it's available to you today. If you don't know Jesus, would you give your life to him today? You don't have to understand everything about the Bible. You just have to believe that Jesus is God's Son, that he died on the cross because he loves you, and that he rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit and us will help you with all the rest. That's what we're here for. We are greater together. If you're here and you already know Jesus, but your life's just not on track where it needs to be, would you get on track today? Would you go all in? Would you go all in and see that the Lord really is good? Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words of David. The words of the man that you said in the scriptures has a heart after yours. Lord, I just pray for those in the room this morning that they know you, but maybe they let their heart wander from you. I just pray this morning that they would pull back up to the table. I thank you that you've made a seat for them. And dear Lord, for those this morning that are here that have never sat down at the table, I pray that this morning they'd swallow their pride. They would not be concerned with fear or what someone else thinks. But I pray that they'd commit their lives to you today. Lord, I pray that you'd call people to repentance. I believe if we can get our front rolls down, we can do backflips. Lord, I believe that you want us to do greater things than we are doing. And I pray that you'd help us each one to taste and see that you are good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for making a way for us to get to you. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.